Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's a woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world where the globalists are pissed, declaring scorched earth because their demons can no longer give birth. Californians Newsom, a man with more moose in his hair than Alaska has wildlife, has declared war on the Californian people, and it's both grisly and gruesome. England's Keir Starmer hates food and farmers, but do you know which UK industry is booming? Yes, you guessed it, folks, the cult of child raping and grooming. And is it the English committing these crimes? Well, there might be some, but 80% plus, it's the Pakistani immigrants and their bought and paid for labor politicians. What is happening there is disgusting. More on that later. But with 5 days until Trump's inauguration, my fellow Americans, are you truly prepared to do what it takes to restore your republic and reclaim this great nation? I certainly do hope so. We are going into uncharted waters, darling. This is all uncharted territory. You know, you think, oh, I'm a patriot, this, that. What does it really mean? What it meant 10 years ago? Does it mean the same thing today? Is it going to mean something different 10 years from now? I mean, we don't know how the world is going to change. What we do know is that we are fighting evil to regain our sovereignty, and so that we don't have another 1,000 years of darkness, that we have an eternity on this planet of ascension. So I don't know about you, but Tom Homan wants to deputize all the American citizens who want to be deputized to help with this child trafficking thing. I will be going down to the Wilsonville Sheriff's Department as soon as inauguration is over and volunteering my services. Welcome back, Martini Heads. I've missed you. It's lovely to be with you again. Shoot the breeze with me for a while. Let's enjoy a nice little drinky poo with each other, we like-minded people. And today's cocktail, I have to say, is rather yummy. As she says, smacking her lips and trying very hard not to dribble down her new shirt. I will share the recipe, as I always do, towards the end of the show. And hopefully some of you will still be listening at that time. So who are we? What is Metaphysical Martini? What's it all about? Am I just going to sit here and drink throughout the show? Well, actually, yes, I am. I have a rather large drink, and it's the best part of the show. I drink all the way through it. It's the best part for me anyway. But if you are really wondering what our philosophy is and who we are, here's a little ditty. And, you know, if you're joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you, genuinely, from my heart to yours. And this hopefully will explain our philosophy. We don't do woke because woke is mind control. We prefer common sense to ranting clueless a-holes. We are not politically correct, for it erodes the intellect. If you go down that road, you will be wrecked, fecked, and decked. Our ideals are libertarian, circa 1776, And Trump is our choice of presidential picks. We have moved on from things theocratic because we prefer logic to superstition and the dramatic. But we bask in the glory of divine cosmic creation. And our goal is to restore the sense of spirit that will reclaim our great nation. And one other thing we like to do is to have the occasional well-mixed drinky poo. And that is exactly what I will be doing for the next hour. Mm. You know, if it wasn't for the show, I wouldn't have the opportunity to try out all these cocktails because, you know, I'm watching my weight and it's going very well. But, you know, cocktails don't help with that. Today's show, my darling, is titled Religion is Outdated. Humanism Lacks the Divine. Thank you. Yes, I'm already expecting all of your hate mail, which I probably won't read. Now, what does that mean exactly? Religion is outdated. Humanism lacks the divine. If you follow this show, you brave souls, you will have heard me say over 1,000 times, religion is a halfway house we should have moved away from decades ago. And why do I say that? I say that because I mean it 100%. This show, by the way, is just my ideas. This is just me, Ani Avedisian, mad, being me with no apology for being me. I have no investment or whether or not you believe in me, but I generally tell the truth and I come from a great background of knowledge, having worked with the bad guys. I'm a very lovely lady, I assure you, who's worked for some very bad people in her past. And I'm pretty aware, I'm pretty savvy about what goes on behind the darker aspects of the establishment. So, you know, hang out a little bit. There might be something useful for you here. And maybe this is a good time for me to announce warning, massive trigger warning. If you are overly sensitive, if you cannot entertain another's point of view without imploding, this show may not be for you. But if you are stable and centered and you realize that an entire universe exists within each person's individualized headspace, you might enjoy the ride into some new territory. You know, you can just visit. You don't have to stay. Listening to the show is not a commitment for the rest of your life. In my headspace, there are no romantic notions of angels, archangels, or a pantheon of gods. In my headspace, there is cosmic creation, and it is glorious and wondrous. And it is awe-inspiring. And anyone who says they understand how it all works is either a genius from another higher dimension of thought or is a twit or a liar. Even our top physicists admit they have barely scratched the surface. Even the top physicists take a philosophical approach to cosmology, admitting that the answers to their questions cannot perhaps be answered in this universe at this time. But as we ascend, we will receive and hopefully understand those answers. Basically, what they're saying in their little science people language is we don't have the level of awareness to understand the answers to the questions we think we might have. And they realize that we have to up our awareness, that will up our intellect, and then we may be able to figure out how the cosmos actually works without telling each other romantic stories of archangels and angels and all of that. So normally we get right into questions and answers and comments in this show, but before we do that, let's talk a little about religion and humanism and what I see as the spiritual goal for mankind, which is in essence the concept that we understand today as self-realization. Apotheosis, a return to God, but we never left, you know. I'll keep the religion part short. Now, why do I say that religion is no longer useful, if it ever was useful, for mankind's ascension? And I know so many people are married to this, to their religion, to their 1-800 dial the prophet of my people, and very, very ego triggered by these things. I don't want to destroy religion. Worship as you will. Worship a tree, worship Jesus, worship Muhammad, worship whatever you want. It has nothing to do with me per se. I'm just sharing with you my vision of a changing world in 100 years from now. I don't think religion is useful in this day and age because it keeps us back. It treats us as children. Naughty, silly, clueless children who need to be carefully monitored and supervised and ruled with a fistful of so-called divine doctrines that don't make any sense. I mean, the Bible and the Quran and many other scriptures that I've read, but not all, give us a delusional, mentally impaired God. What type of society could ever come from a delusional, mentally impaired God? I will tell you. A delusional, mentally impaired society. Take a look around you today. Take a look around you. We are living in the middle of a poorly funded dog and pony show merged with the lowest class of vaudeville on crack. Back to our religion. Now, the suicide bombing community are exclusively from the religious community. The Muslim men who groom and rape young girls, the ones from Pakistan, in the UK, are exclusively from the religious community. People who go to war and kill for God are exclusively from the religious community. I can argue, and I do, that a sane person, someone in their right mind, would not commit any of these atrocities. But add in the name of God or Allah, add in that clause, and you have a horde of mind control zombies acting against their natural instincts because they have been told a supernatural being out there desires their sacrifice. Would a sane person believe that? I think not. A little point, in fact, I didn't make a note of this, but I'm going to share it. It's Salvador. That chap whose name I keep forgetting, cute little guy who's in charge there with his name, begins with B, Bukley, something like that. He's doing a bang-up job cleaning up the gangs. And he's had some really interesting whistleblowers in those gangs. You see, one of these committed murderers, tattoos all over his face, and he just goes around murdering people because he's a gang member and that's his job within that gang, is to take people out, was told to go out and steal an infant and sacrifice it because the beast wants a sacrifice. Actually, he wasn't told to sacrifice it. He was told to go and get the baby and bring it and witness the sacrifice. This is a hardened murderer. And he says to the police, I'm not going to steal a child and sacrifice it to Lucifer. What kind of man do you think I am? Just a, you know, point there. Think about it. This guy, we would say, is insane because he's a murderer for a gang. He's the hitman for a gang. When you paid for it, you're not a murderer, you're a hitman. But he won't sacrifice a baby to Lucifer because he believes that's completely insane and very wrong. So where am I going with this? Does it mean I'm an atheist? No, I am not an atheist. We are all part of something much greater. And if we seek to understand it and tap into it, to merge with it, our world would be in a very different dimensional space. So create a God. I will use that term and many others because I do believe there is a supreme cosmic intelligence that regulates the working of the cosmos. Workings I do not yet fully understand. I don't think it's a person. Create a God does not need to be worshipped. Create a God source, if you will. And, you know, I don't think that It wants to be worshipped. It doesn't need to be needed. It doesn't have any needs because it is not a human or any other type of being, and therefore it doesn't have ego programming. We have turned these deities into people and giving them human characteristics. That is oh so silly. This supreme cosmic intelligence, and if you want to get into the nitty-gritty, you know, there is source energy, pre-Big Bang, from which all things came. Then we have the universes, and each universe, you know, has a god. So there is also a god, which I call the local god or the universal god of each universe, in absolute merge and co-creation with source energy. So, you know, that's about as much into the hierarchy of intelligence as I think we need to understand to have a point of reference as to who it is we're praying to. We are praying to ourselves because we are a part of this allness. This allness simply wants us to represent it on physical realms, to be gods in bods on earth or wherever we choose to experience life. That is my understanding of these things at this time. Some can, but I cannot live my life as though this one physical experience is all there is. I guess a physicist would call me an eternalist. I do believe in the continuity of life, and I do believe that all points in space and time are real to me and are equally important. The present moment is important because that's where I am. But a second ago, I was in the present moment and that was important. And now the past is a memory. But does it mean it doesn't happen? No, it happened. It's happening. The future, do I know anything about it? Well, I could say it hasn't happened, but in the continuum, it has. Yes, of course, it's confusing. And note that I said space-time and not space and time. Some would say, well, they are separate. Some would say, no, we can't fathom that they're separate, so we're going to merge them. We're still working out what goes on and what and blah, blah, and how it all works. But you see, in my belief system, if you share my belief system, which is not a particular, no one's written my system in a book. I'm just a human evolving, you know, a spiritual human evolving. My ever-evolving belief system says to me, I'm a spirit-centered humanist along the lines of Thomas Paine or Robert Ingersoll. But when I look at the definition of raw humanism, they would disagree with me. I mean, would a committed humanist accept such a definition that there's a spirit out there, a supernatural? Some may hold space for it, but raw humanists, as I call them, they do not entertain the prospect of an afterlife. And as a spiritual counselor and someone from an actual shaman bloodline, I am immersed in the continuity of life. I cannot hold space for one life and then, boom, you die and that's it. Because in my mind, that just doesn't make any sense. In my mind, that's just plain silly. It doesn't make sense on any level. And it doesn't make any sense if I explain it through any discipline or philosophy. But I really do like the rational approach. Because, you know, three part spirit and one part rational mind is the perfect metaphysical martini. In my cosmic cocktail, we are three times more spirit than we are human because the humanity is a temporal experience, an individualized cosmic space adventure. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm a humanist, but I believe in God. And my humanist friends say, you're not a humanist because you can't believe in God. You can't believe in God if you're a humanist. I think we have a lot more in common than we think. Let's explore what humanism is, right? And probably the best place to do that would be the American Humanist Organization. And their little subtext there is good without God. Good without God. Well, that says it all. They are good without God. And I'm sure they are. And I am God without religion. we're in transition here, right? We're in transition. So I want to share with you a little bit about how the AHO, American Humanist Organization, AHO, no, You can't call yourselves AHO. Here's how the AHO describe themselves. So humanism, what is it? We'd all really love to know. Because is it a modern thing? I remember people in the Tudor era describing themselves as humanists. Not that I was there at the Tudor era. I mean, I read about it in history and anthropology books. Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that, without theism or other supernatural beliefs, affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good. Well, who could possibly have an argument with that? I have no argument with that, but I still can't think of myself as a random act of biology with no cosmic history. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It would be like the foam on a cappuccino. It serves no real purpose, and you get less coffee for your money. Okay, what else do they have to say? Because I like these people. I love it. I mean, I love everything that I read about them. Humanism is a rational philosophy informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Wow. Affirming the dignity of each human being, it supports the maximization of individual liberty and opportunity consonant with social and planetary responsibility. Oh, huzzah, humanists. Go, go, go. It advocates for the extension of participatory democracy, not easy to say, and the expansion of the open society, standing for human rights and social justice. We are right behind you, my darlings, with all of that. And moving on, free from supernaturalism, it recognizes human beings as part of nature and holds that values, be they religious, ethical, social, or political, have their source in human experience and culture. Humanism thus derives the goals of life from human need and interest rather than from theological or ideological abstractions, and asserts that humanity must take responsibility, excuse me, for its own destiny. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't. Tried. Didn't succeed. Religion is a human construct. The God of religion is very much a human construct. But I believe humans are a cosmic construct. You could say divine construct if you wish. I am trying to remember to use the word cosmic because it is 100% accurate. Now, cosmic intelligence is awe-inspiring, and surely that's enough. What benefit is there in giving it the mysterious supernatural treatment? Or I should ask, who does it benefit? And we all know the answer to that question. Those who would control and manipulate society for their own nefarious purposes. So more from the AHO. Humanism is a democratic and ethical life stance which affirms that human beings have the right and responsibility to give meaning and shape their own lives. Yes, hello, we give meaning and shape to our own lives. Yes, we do. Well done. It stands for the building of a more humane society through an ethics based on human and other natural values in a spirit of reason and free inquiry through human capabilities. It is not theistic, and it does not accept supernatural views of reality. And I understand why, but it's the supernatural views of reality that are attached to a religion that is the issue. I don't see how the notion of life eternal would diminish this in any way, except, of course, if you added the supernatural aspect of religious theism back into it. So what else do they have to say? Humanism is a joyous alternative to religions, damn right, that believe in a supernatural God and life in a hereafter. If the prospect of eternal life troubles you, then this could be very attractive to you. But again, the supernatural God and the eternal life doesn't have to be seen through the lens of religion. Humanists believe that this is the only life of which we have certain knowledge, and that we owe it to ourselves and others to make it the best life possible for ourselves and all with whom we share this fragile planet. I cannot, on pure logic, disagree with that. I mean, if we're going to be absolutely pure and rational, we would say, prove that God exists. Well, how many definitions of God are there and how are we going to prove it? Now, I can get into a whole rabbit hole with you all. We're all on the same page here. But you can't argue with the logic of that. It is a belief that when people are free to think for themselves, using reason and knowledge as their tools, they are best able to solve this world's problems. In other words, if we are not propagandized and indoctrinated by religion is one of the things, we would do better. The humanists believe, the one thing I do respect, I mean, I respect a lot about them, but they absolutely believe that left to our own devices, somehow we are wired to do the right thing. I believe that too. An appreciation of the art, literature, music, and crafts that are our heritage from the past and of the creativity that, if nourished, can continuously enrich our lives. So we appreciate history as humanists. We appreciate the literature. We appreciate everything. Yes, we think that these things enrich our lives. Humanism is, in sum, a philosophy of those in love with life. Wonderful. Humanists take responsibility for their own lives and relish the adventure of being part of new discoveries, seeking new knowledge, exploring new options, instead of finding solace in prefabricated answers to the great questions of life. Humanists enjoy the open-endedness of a quest and the freedom of discovery that this entails. In a way, they've got the cosmic space adventure vibe. It's just that they're going more into a local Earth adventure vibe. I don't have any problem with anything of that, except, you know, I'm an eternalist. Humanists take responsibility for their own lives. Yes, and they relish the adventure of being part of new discoveries. Great. Seeking new knowledge. Great. Exploring new options. Who wouldn't want that? Instead of finding solace in prefabricated answers to the great questions in life, humanists enjoy the open-endedness of a quest and the freedom of discovery that this entails. You know, that smacks of intellectual freedom, and huzzah for that. And finally, from the American Humanist organization, I wanted to compare several viewpoints from several of their different journals. You know, humanism is a philosophy of life that considers the welfare of humankind rather than the welfare of a supposed god or gods to be of paramount importance. Pretty good. Humanism maintains there is no evidence that a supernatural power ever needed or wanted anything from people, ever communicated to them, or ever interfered with the laws of nature to assist or harm anyone. Try disagreeing with this if you can, and make your argument sensible and objective. Moving on, humanism's focus then is on using human efforts to meet human needs and human wants in this world. History shows that those efforts are most effective when they involve both compassion and the scientific method, which includes reliance on reason, evidence, and free inquiry. I don't think humanists are closing the door on any kind of exploration. They're just saying that right now, to have a functional society and a fulfilling life, we don't need anything more than this. And okay, to a great extent, I see it and I can hang with it. Humanism says people can find purpose in life and maximize their long-term happiness by developing their talents and using those talents for the service of humanity. Humanists believe that this approach to life is more productive and leads to a deeper and longer lasting satisfaction than a hedonistic pursuit of material or sensual pleasures that soon fade. So we have some serious philosophers here. While service to others is a major focus of humanism, recreation and relaxation are not ignored, for these two are necessary for long-term health and happiness. So that's a sort of a little fundamental building stone where we could talk a little bit more, maybe on another show, about what that means. Because they're saying certainly take care of yourself, but we are part of a community, and they seem to believe that we have a duty to serve each other in some way or another. And they believe that the key is moderation in all things. Humanism covers the universe, considers the universe to be the result of an extremely long and complex evolution under immutable laws of nature. Humanists view this natural world as wondrous and precious, and as offering limitless opportunities for exploration, fascination, creativity, companionship, and joy. Because science cannot now and probably never will be able to explain the ultimate origin or destiny of the universe, I think humanism can include more than atheists and agnostics. The lack of definite answers to these ultimate questions leaves room for reasonable people to hypothesize about the origin of the natural universe, and even to hope for some form of life beyond this one. In fact, two of humanism's greatest luminaries were, as we mentioned previously, Thomas Paine, Robert Ingersoll. They both maintained a hope of the afterlife. And on the issue of whether God exists, Ingersoll was agnostic, and Paine believed in a deistic God who established the laws of nature, but then he stepped away. He believed that God established everything and stepped away and then never intervened in the world, which, okay, fair enough. Those beliefs did not interfere with their ability to lead outstanding humanistic lives. So in my opinion, it's not my opinion, whoever wrote this piece, people holding such views can be humanists if they believe that humanity is on its own in this world. And the lack of any evidence for an afterlife means this life should be lived as though it's the only one we have. It all does make sense, doesn't it? I mean, we're not going to sit here and go, oh, no, it's rubbish and da-da-da. What's rubbish is people screaming at the top of their heads saying things like, you can't think that way. You're not the only planet. Who made you? God, creator. And if we entertain the idea of a creator as such, who created the creator? And then we go into another cosmic rabbit hole. Let's see how they view religion versus state, because I'm sure on this we will agree. And this is the humanists' version of, this is their version, their opinion. A secular, open, and pluralistic society where government does not ascribe to one worldview over another is a right to which every American is entitled as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment reads that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. The first part of that requirement, the Establishment Clause, means that not only should there be no official state church, but also that government should be prohibited from entangling itself in religious matters without a religiously neutral reason. Governments shouldn't take sides in support of one religion over another, or generally favor the religious over the non-religious. The second part of that requirement, the Free Exercise Clause, extends government's protections to all religious viewpoints and activities that don't result in violations of other laws. This should protect the assertively atheistic, just as it now protects the devoutly faithful. Free exercise rarely requires the intervention of legislators. When they do intervene, it tends to result in special rights for the religious that discriminate against the non-religious. And the the American Humanist Organization, these people, they very much are in support of government policies that bolster the secular foundations of law and culture in the United States, you know, because that is a continual struggle. Because we get emotional when we romanticize the levels of intelligence in the cosmos. We say things like, don't you dare attack my Jesus, who I call Emmanuel and know for sure he lived. However, I wish somebody had written an accurate account of him in the Bible. You know, oh, don't talk that way. Oh, don't burn my book. Don't talk that way about this is haram and this is taboo. And oh, people, do you not realize these are ego? This is all ego. This is ego triggering you and going, see, they have touched within you that place that is most sacred. Ooh, we must be insulted, we must be offended, and we must do all these things to bring these people down because they have insulted the core of our being. You see how emotional it all gets and how silly? If we are to advance as a race, the human race, I don't know about you, but I'm a member of the human race, and this is my personal opinion. We must transcend religion. We should focus on self-realization. But I need God. I need God. Don't take my God away from me. No, you don't, you see, because you have God. If God exists, then so do you. You are literally sitting there eating a giant sandwich while exclaiming how hungry you are. When we say there is no separation between the physical you and the non-physical you, people nod their heads and they say they understand. But the way they go on to live their lives, our lives, I'm as much of a twit as anybody else, proves that the opposite is true. Let's take a look at some of the things happening around the world today. If you think it is okay to impregnate a 10-year-old girl because your scripture says you can, you are not religious. You are a sick fuck who needs to be medicated and destroyed. Perhaps you should be cut into 72 pieces after destruction so that each piece of you can enjoy a virgin in the afterlife. And I am as passionate about making that happen for you as you are about violating young girls in the name of God. I implore you, ladies and gentlemen, do not stop speaking out against crimes of depravity. Please tell the religious police to go and jump off a bridge into a deep, fast-moving river somewhere. No one has the right to shut you down for telling the truth. When one speaks out, another will join, and then another and another, until our voices outnumber the few sick, power-hungry, sociopath minions of Lucifer, which is a personification of a deity that we call the evil rift. The cult of sexualizing children is a very evil agenda, and it runs across all religions. It does, and all cultures. And why children? Why? Because they don't know how to stand up for themselves, and if you break a child, you own the adult. That's why. The pursuit of money has become its own religion. Back in the UK, my home that was once, before I became an American, every Labour politician voted against an inquiry into Pakistani Muslim grooming and rape gangs. What? Let me say that again. Every Labour politician voted against an inquiry into Pakistani Muslim grooming for rape gangs. Grooming for rape gangs. They are preventing an inquiry into grooming for rape gangs. Shall we take a moment to figure out what's going here? Young white children are groomed, then raped by multiple men, often on the same day. Their fathers show up to rescue them, and their fathers are the ones arrested by the police. And should the girls and boys who were victims of grooming for rape talk about their ordeal on social media, they too are visited by the police and told they are racists for exposing the crimes of Muslim men. In the effing UK, by the way, the land where I spent the first 30 years of my life, and it was such a lovely country, the police now cover up these crimes. The courts now cover it up. Parliament covers it up. Are all these people Muslim? No, of course not. Yes, I am not going to not say that it is a Muslim grooming and rape gang because it is. It doesn't mean every Muslim is doing it. There is a gang of Pakistani Muslim men in England doing this, and it is being covered up. It is being covered up by people who are not Pakistani or Muslim, because they too have adopted a new god, the money messiah. Lots of lovely cover-up lolly, lots of money, and the promise of being part of the elite when the New World Order takes over, destroys national sovereignty, and declares England New World Order Zone number 432, an island with good fish and chips, but no free speech and no rights under any type of law. I do wish people had listened to us 40 years ago when we told them, we explained this agenda to them in great detail, but we were scoffed at. Who's scoffing now? I think not. Not a lot of scoffers now. 5 days from today, some version of Trump will take the oath of office, and at least America will get back on track. And I fully expect Team Unity will hit the ground running, no matter what they throw at us. And they will throw whatever is, you know, left in their toy box. I assume Farage will be the next Prime Minister of the UK. And that's a step in the right direction. I wonder if he has the danglies to be the bull in the china shop, you know, Trump style. We shall see. But if he can't manage it, there are many young men and women in the UK who could. So for all time's sake and for the benefit of mankind, I hope the UK sorts out this horror shit show sooner than later. Because I want to visit my Auntie Vera in Chiswick, and I refuse to go back until order and sanity are restored. I admire Farage, don't get me wrong, but I want to see some Trump-sized danglies walked into that. When he walks into that parliament of whores, he better have a bulge in his pants, that's all I'm saying. And, you know, I think this might be a good place for me to stop pontificating and move on to another segment. What do you think? Mankind, my darlings, is in transition from corrupt leadership and a propagandized population of Stockholm syndrome survivors to a new golden age of prosperity and sovereignty. And kicking, screaming, and no doubt wetting our panties, we will eventually get there. I think I need a drink. I'm going to have a sip of my lovely drinky poo. And normally, you know, I can be a bit of a guzzler, but this one is a slow sip, a slow, elegant sip. And and it's so warm when it hits the back of your throat. Lovely. What shall we do now, darlings? What shall we do? Have I pissed you all off? I don't think so. I think it's time for a tiny pat of poetry. Yes, folks, after a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than going home, putting my feet up, having a nice cup of tea or usually a small drinky poo, and writing really bad, yet occasionally brilliant, non-peer-reviewed poetry, because my poems have no peer, as you will shortly discover. Now, this one is a work in progress, but it's entitled Inauguration Day 2025. So why did I write this? I wrote it because I'd say three or four of my MAGA friends called me up and they go, my God, there's the inauguration. Is it going to happen? What? And they're going through all their doubt cycle, right? I said, chill, my children, chill. Be chilled, children, all of you, because it's just a little bit of excitement. We've been at this for years. And it's happening. We don't really know what's happening. We just know that the big picture is shifting. And we know we're in the middle of a misinformation war, and we're all very, very confused. And I just said to them, please chill. It's going to be okay. But this is written from the point of view of all these loyal patriots who perhaps were going back and forth a little bit. However, it's a very good poem, if I say so myself. And here we go. Me, 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 me. Inauguration Day 2025 by Ani Abadissian. We don't know exactly how it will play out. We are in transition, Of that, there's no doubt. And while we all hope the players are firmly in place, with valiant visage and focused game face, we just can't be certain. We can't know for sure if it was all just marketing from a shiny brochure. The corruption was so very deeply embedded to ensure full control, as was always intended. Every aspect of life on the realm was affected. It will take some time to get all this corrected. I'm not spreading doom, the opposite, in fact. I trust the plan, and the plan is intact. But a plan is as good as the plan's major players, and I want to believe we have plenty of slayers to take on the beast in its multiple forms, like riders of storms, shattering norms, slicing the demon's heads from our bodies while cheering on our spiritual squaddies. I might be tired. We've been at this for years. Social media, legislature, 10,000 beers, writing passionate pleas, receiving hate mail, watching my once sane friends go right off the rails, wondering why folks turn a blind eye to corruption so obvious it can't be denied. Now's not the time for doubts or distress. The liberation button is about to be pressed. I'll put on my lipstick and pour a stiff drink. Today, America rises and the evil ones sink. God bless America. I love this country. My darlings, I do hope you enjoyed that little gem from my pen. Now, I had a nice glass of Harvey's Bristol Cream Sherry just because, you know, I wanted to. And I had that just before I wrote that. So I think I might call up my local liquor store, Stafford Beverage in Wilson Mill, Oregon, and ask them to put aside a few more bottles of that stuff. I find that cocktails make me happy, but a drop of sherry makes me a better writer. Okay. Moving on, I think we've got just enough time to squeeze in some quack questions, answers and comments, which is always the meat of our show. But this week, well, not many of you wrote in and I wanted to pontificate a bit on humanism. So, you know, darlings, it all works out. If you would like to share your thoughts with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me because, darlings, nobody else will read them. Arnie@arnieavedisian.com. Or via snail mail to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Oregon 97070, United States of America. And please let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details. And please don't send me a PhD dissertation of all your problems, because I won't have the time to read it. Keep it short and keep it sweet, and we can always catch up on the phone later. So let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, shaky, ah, shaky, shaky. Ooh. The bowl was not very full this week. This is from Joyce in PV, which I assume is Puerto Vallarta, who asks, do you believe in capital punishment? And if so, would you be okay with pulling the rope? I am tempted to go into my the law is an arse speech, but I won't. Joyce, darling, there are acts of evil that are so perverted, so repulsive, and have such dire consequences that I would be in favor of telling these people they can no longer be allowed to live on this planet. If they have a spaceship, they can fly away in it, and if they don't, we will arrange a meeting with a celestial travel agent. Yes, there are crimes that have universal consequences, such as the COVID bioweapon. Those crimes deserve the ritual of death. And I am in favor of that because it is the right and proper way to deal with such evil. And there is an actual correct ritual of death for these people. If the Trump administration would like to get in touch with me, I know what it is. Would I be okay with pulling the rope? Are you asking me if I'm queasy? Are you asking me if I sentence someone to death, would I do it myself? Yes, I would never sentence someone to death and not have the guts to pull it off. But ropes, I'm not one for ropes, darling. I'm one for triggers. You know, the way we deal with crime is ridiculous. Incarcerating people, I mean, criminally insane perhaps being an exception, incarcerating people is generally not useful. It has not helped society. Quite the opposite, in my opinion. And now we have private for-profit prisons. The whole concept is gross and needs to be reworked. And again, if anyone in the Trump's administration wants my ideas for reform, please call me. I'm busting with them. I think we have time for one or two more questions. Let's pick this one. This is from Alex in Durham, UK. Lovely town. Very cold up there, though. Alex says, why is Trump being... I can't do Durham accent. Where is it? Why is Trump being an idiot and talking rubbish about Greenland and Panama? And I know that wasn't a Durham accent. I'm so sorry to anybody in the North. I apologize. I will say this in proper English. Alex from Durham, UK, wants to know, why is Trump being an idiot and talking rubbish about Greenland and Panama? I don't think it's rubbish. I think he wants to draw attention to the unchecked Chinese expansionism happening before our very eyes and being deliberately ignored by the globalist media. If you dig a little, Alex, you'll see what I mean. And the thing he said about Canada being the 51st American state, yes, it gave us all a chuckle, but think about this. Think about this. How many times in man's history have national borders changed? We've had two world wars and a whole bunch of other conflicts. In this last century alone, and significant changes were made to borders. Until all armed conflict stops, borders will never be set in stone. And civilizations rise and fall, and regimes rise and fall. Populations get displaced. Shit happens, man. We have no right to assume things will stay in place just because we like the way it makes us feel. I'm not sure, to be honest, that even the awake and aware know the magnitude of the shift we are currently negotiating. Well, we'll know soon enough because the quickening is about to get a boost. And my darlings, you'll know when it happens because it will feel as though you went from 33 RPM to 45 RPM. And if we don't want to get motion sickness, I suggest we engage in daily breath meditation, prayerful contemplation, and the occasional nice glass of very smooth wine. I believe we have time for a few more. Yes, we do. Okay, all right. Let's see. Let's give the fishbowl a little refreshment. I just broke my kazoo. I'm horrified to tell you. Hopefully I can put that back together later. I was going to play Land of Hope and Glory for you, but I can't now. All right, what have we got in here? This is a postcard from Elaine, postmarked somewhere in KY, which is Kentucky. And in bold red letters, Elaine has written, are you 100% sure we won't have World War III? Elaine, how can I be sure? In a world that's constantly changing, how can I be sure of anything? That said, I can confidently state there is a very high probability we will not have a violent World War III. And which definition of war are we using? This is not exclusively a boots on the ground and bombs in the air type of war. It's more a fake news than pew-pew. From my perspective, this is World War III. We are in it. We are in the last battle for planet Earth. The only thing that's left now is for the apes to appear. You know, the light versus dark. That's where we are. These armies don't stand in neat lines and wear uniforms. The weapons are aimed at our minds, not our behinds. And the programming is everywhere, in everything, all of the time. It's a mad, bad matrix, baby. And most don't know how to read code, let alone write it. It feels almost overwhelming, doesn't it? Thinking about the level and the amount of changes that need to be made to restore sovereignty and sanity and make it permanent. But hey, the other side did it, and they're the bad guys. And they got away with it because they believed in themselves and their vainglorious escapades. And the universe has to match that vibration because that's how it designed itself to operate. Why do you think bad guys, truly bad guys, become so successful? Because they believe in themselves as their own gods. Perhaps not quite in the same way as we identify as gods and bods. Their gods, they have a different god. Our experience of God is one of harmonious co-creation. Theirs is more along the lines of, you shall own nothing and eat the bugs and be happy, you sniveling human, and you must be medicated and do as we say. I think I might have got off track. And if I did, my apologies. Okay, one more, and that's it. That's it. And this is Niels. No location. And Niels comments thusly, you know, Arnie, it really is a stretch to believe that this chaos was by design. And yet, when you step back and really think about it, it is obvious, and it is truly painful in retrospect to see how easily we were conned. I am ashamed. Niels, no, do not be ashamed, because you did figure it out. And once you realized something was off, you investigated, you asked questions, and you sallied forth demanding the truth, the whole truth, and nought but the truth. You did the right thing, my man, and you should be commended for it. It is overwhelming, isn't it, to know that every institution created can be used for good, but instead they are used to push nefarious agendas. Yes, they did a number on we the people, but today, as we stand quite literally at the crossroads between good and evil, sanity and insanity, Vegemite or Marmite, we the people, after grooming and rape gangs, purposeful, dangerous, illegal immigration of thousands of ne'er-do-wells, excessive taxation, insane gender ideology, Luciferian agendas of wokeism, critical race theory, political correctness, Antifa, BLM, what was that? Black lesbian money, and other assorted woke depravity, we the people may actually be waking up to the fact that we have been paying the government to abuse us. Oh my God, lordy, lordy, say it ain't so. But in 5 days' time, I'm getting rather tiddly. Nothing can stop what's coming, and for that, I praise all that is with all my might. And because I spent so much time pontificating earlier in the show, we'll wrap up crack for today. Many thanks to the Martini Heads for writing in and sharing your delusions with us. On next week's show, we will be back to our full complement of quack, questions, answers, and croissants, and we will have short segments on awesome American civics and history, a silly poem, and of course, the cocktail of the day. My darlings, it's getting close to the time to say goodbye. I have finished my drink, and that always means I'm tiddled, and it's the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording, because I had a blast, and I thank you for that. This is my time with you every other Wednesday. Like-minded people, we just get to shoot the breeze. It's like a little knitting circle, a social circle for martini heads. I just hope that one day this can be a little bit more interactive and you can all join in as well. Maybe we'll like to think about that. Today's real-life cocktail, because it is a very cold day here in Northern Oregon today. Oh my God, is it cold? I chose a classic B&B, Benedictine and Brandy, and here's how you make it. Get a cordial glass and pour half an ounce or more of Benedictine liqueur, one of my favorites, okay? Pour that into the cordial glass. Now, carefully float half an ounce or more of good cognac, I'm using Heinz today, float it on top of the Benedictine. No ice, no stirring, no shaking, just let it be. Sip slowly and warm the cockles of your heart and let your frozen toes and fingers gently defrost. Now remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one good drink is all you need. I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are so grateful. Mwah, mwah, mwah. And a big shout out to Mystical Wares in Mount Vernon, Washington, for graciously arranging the intergalactic distribution of this award-winning show. Mysticalwares.com, online or on location, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Until we meet again, no matter what happens, stay in the light and continue the fight against the evil ones. And the best way to do this, my darlings, is to let the spirit inhabit the human.
have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.